Yes.
Almighty God, without whose help labor is useless, without whose light search is vain, we, thy unworthy servants here gathered together in thy name, do most humbly beseech thee to send down thy heavenly wisdom from above to direct and guide us in all our deliberations, and laying aside all private interest, prejudices, and partial affections, the result of all our counsels may be to the glory of thy blessed name.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the time is past 10. I move that we
sit down. Mr. Whip, always ensure that you have the permission of the speaker before you speak. Please, you've been here for quite some time. Yes, Mr. Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the time is past 10. I move that we suspend issue 5-2 to commend the business of this house.
I just helped you out of it. Honorable Answer was going to take you up on that. Any seconder?
Mr. Speaker, I shall second.
Honorable members, it has been moved and seconded that SO 5-2 be suspended so that the business of the House may commence. It's been past 10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 5th July 2017.
Honorable members, the votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 5th July 2017. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. There be no corrections or amendments. Will somebody move for the adoption of the votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 5th July 2017? Any seconder? It has been moved and seconded that the votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 5th July 2017 be adopted. All those in favor say aye. Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Wednesday, 5th July 2017 has been adopted. Bill, the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017, introduction and first reading, the Minister of Health and Sanitation.
Honorable Speaker, Members of Parliament, I move that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agencies Act 2017 be read for the first time.
Honorable Members, the question is that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017 be read the first time. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
The bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017 has been read the first time. Second reading.
Honorable Speaker, Members of Parliament, I move that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017 be read the second time. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Deputy Speaker, Honorable Members of Parliament, Members of the Fourth Estate, I beg your pardon. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members of Parliament.
Mr. Minister, sit down. Mr. Minister, stand. You are addressing Parliament. And here we have certain procedures that are only peculiar to us. Only peculiar to us. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members of Parliament, let me start by thanking the leadership of the House and through you, sir, Mr. Speaker, the entire Honorable House for giving me the privilege to present this to this House, this very important bill. Prior to 2012, the procurement, storage, and distribution of drugs and medical supplies to all public health facilities under the supervision of the Ministry of Health and Sanitation was done by the Directorate of Drugs and Medical Supplies within the Ministry. But with the passage of time, Mr. Speaker, it became apparent that the whole issue of drugs and medical supplies, procurement and handling, including storage and distribution, has become such an enormous task that there is a need to detach these functions away from the ministry through the establishment of a dedicated structure that will be better staffed and resourced for the task. This thinking led to the passage into law by this Honorable House of the National Pharmaceutical Procurement Unit Act of 2012. However, since the establishment of the NPPU, the institution faced a number of challenges ranging from governance to funding and to operational issues and so on and so forth. All these factors conspire to render the institution ineffective. As a result, the very issues for which the institution was set up to address remain largely unaddressed as at today. For example, parallel procurements of drugs and medical supplies continue as at this day, as donors continue to channel resources through multiple agencies due to lack of confidence in the institution. B, stock out of life-saving commodities persist in our health facilities nationwide. Three, the age-old push system, where drugs are supplied to facilities not on the basis of what the facilities need and when they need them, but on the basis of what is available and when we have it. Four, wastages persist because of this same push system that I mentioned. And E, pilferage of drugs en route to facilities persist because of failure of the institution to implement the accountability matrix that was developed with partners to ensure drugs get to the facilities. Mr. Speaker, after several consultations at State House, His Excellency the President, Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma, in his wisdom, came to the conclusion that the institution was not fit for purpose and decided on a complete restructuring of the units. This State House decision was contained in a press release dated around March of last year, and the release mandated the Ministry of Health and Sanitation to work with partners to restructure the unit, including the development of a new act. So what I'm here to present today to this Honorable House is the end point of months and months of deep and extensive consultations, including cabinet ministers, His Excellency the President, Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma, the Law Office, and the Ministry of Finance and other stakeholders. The bill is developed from lessons learned from the defunct NPPU, as well as best practices borrowed from elsewhere. If passed into act, this bill will promote transparency in the procurement and handling of drugs and medical supplies to our facilities. It will restore donor confidence in the pharmaceutical supply chain system of the country. It will eliminate parallel procurement mechanisms that currently characterize drug procurement and supply in the country. there will be more predictability of drugs supply in the country through the use of improved forecasting methods. Wastages will be avoided through better quantification, and there will be timely delivery of essential health medicines to our facilities through the use of better distribution system. Mr. Speaker, Honourable Members of Parliament, I move that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2012 be read a second time.
Honourable Members, the question is that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017 be read the second time. Yes, Al Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the bill in front of this House is here at the right time. It's, as stated by the minister, it's sent to this House of Parliament because the NPPU Act never fulfilled the promise it was enacted for. And soon after the enactment of the NPPU, it started having problems in terms of implementation. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, as a result, the government of Sierra Leone thought it fit that there should be a total overhaul of the NPPU and another bill to substitute in its place. But Mr. Speaker, honorable members, as stated by the minister, several efforts and consultations were made before this bill came to this House. No one will dispute that. No one will discredit that. But I believe it is the role of this House of Parliament for us to, at the end of the day, produce a bill that will stand the test of time. And as a result of that, Mr. Speaker, I will want to make few comments or few points on some aspects of the bill as it is currently in front of us. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, part two of the bill, paragraph, part two, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Part 2, 5, and 5. Yes, the composition of the board, Mr. Speaker. Yeah. It states that the permanent secretary of health, who is a key stakeholder of the board, who is a key stakeholder of the ministry, should form part of the board, and other members of the board, the Medical and Dental Association. And under E, it says the following members appointed by the minister through a consultative selection process. I just want to bring to the notice of the minister that that has not been the practice of this House, neither any bill that has been passed by this, legislated by this House. All board members must be appointed by the president and approved by parliament. However, the minister can, in consultation with his key entities, recommend to the president for some appointment of board members. But even as it is, 4 is a very large number. That's not the usual practice. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I'll take the House to page 5 on reasons for termination of board members or seasons of operation of board members. In its part, E says, if a board member fails to attend... Page 6, Mr. Speaker. Page 6. Page 6.
Always make specific references, please.
Mr. Speaker, if you have copy of the bill, it's very hard to make references to them because the numbering itself is a problem, which we'll have to correct at the the committee stage. The numbering of the bill itself is a problem. Yeah, that's why I stated page 6. Page 6 says under page 6 says, if a board member fails to attend to two consecutive meetings of the board without reasonable excuse, I think his membership as a board member can be seized or be terminated. Mr. Speaker, I think failing to attend twice for board meetings without reasonable excuse is too harsh, and I recommend that, inconsistent with other bills that have appeared before this house, some says 3 months, some says 3 appearances, we'll want to continue in that trend. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the objective of the bill, it's a very good one, and where I applaud the minister for taking the bold step for bringing this bill in this house at this time, as the bill will reduce wastages as a result of the push system that the medical supplies system has been experiencing. It is also no doubt that this will have a significant reduction on the cost of drugs on this country. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, we as a committee and of health and sanitation will want to see that this bill passed successfully in this house. So we will want to see a very good bill that will stand the test of time, and we'll want to see a bill that will not come back to this house, or an agency that will not face difficulty as the NPPU. So, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I ask that we support this bill, and I ask the honorable members, my colleagues, for us to do a proper job, a proper scrutiny on this bill, because at the end of the day, if it falters, Parliament will have to carry the blame. Yes, because we are the lawmakers. Before enacting any legislation, we need to see that the bill stand the test of time. And a thorough consultation has been made, and points that are relevant to the implementation of this bill are carried out. So without that, with those words, Mr. Speaker, thank you so much.
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I just want to support what the honorable from Western Area has said. I have the bill with me here, Mr. Speaker, and I used blue ink to edit it, and Mr. Speaker, it's all full of blue ink. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, one of the reasons for the blue ink is, one, we want to make our act be consistent. I will take one example. In page 3, clause 3, sub clause 1, Mr. Speaker, I just want to, that's the clause referring to the governing body being the agency. It is a custom of all the bills. Once you have this clause, it goes in line with, after it, it's like the chairman, somebody, there shall be a chairman who has proven a record of experience, these things like that. Things like that. But that will capture in the when we are looking at the bill in the committee stage. So you find out this bill has something like the governing body of the agency shall be the board in which shall be vested the this, the that. And then it went on to have qualification for chairman. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, we are all aware that that is inconsistent with how we are making laws here. The chairman, there is no specific qualification for chairman other than having a proven experience in the area covered by the act, by the bill. It is not something, I've never seen a bill that says the chairman should have a degree, no, I've never seen that. And in line, inconsistent with what we have been doing, it is but befitting that the qualification for the chairman here also follows that pattern. Mr. Chairman, additionally, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, sorry, sir.
Okay, I should allow him. Allow him. Go ahead, go ahead.
Go ahead. Mr. Speaker, honorable members. Mr. Speaker, honorable members. Yes. When we look at the bill again, you will notice, I do not want to go to point by point, you will notice again the use of the word like managing director. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, this is going to be a government-subvented agency. And by so doing, it is going to be, it is different from what they are currently going to be doing. When you have a managing director, according to my small knowledge in corporate governance, this is purely an organization doing business in which they will charge, they will provide their services and charge fees for the provision of services. That is basically not what this agency will be doing if the bill goes through. So this and so many other reasons gives a substance why this bill has to go to the committee stage in order for us to fine tune it so as to make it consistent with what we have been doing. And in that light, I want to subscribe to the view that we sent it is sent to the legislative committee so that we can fine tune it. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable JB.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members, it's always good for us to look at Australia in whatever we do in life, especially when we are on the payroll of the people and we are representing people who cannot talk here but expect us to do their work. We're talking about the National Medical Supply Agency. If you look at most of the problems existing in this country, it's because fake drugs always enter this country and people want to make money on top of fares of Sierra Leoneans and they are not giving the right service. If that is the case, now we are talking, you know, we are going to have an agency that will make sure whatever comes in here must be a medicine that will help cure sicknesses that people will be facing. If that is the case, we look at the short title, which says to repeal and replace the National Pharmaceutical Procurement Unit Act 2012 to establish a national supply agency as public service agency responsible for procurement, warehousing and distribution of drugs and medical supplies in a transparent and cost-effective manner. The short title can really tell us that the ministry is ready to see Sierra Leone through the hazards of medical hazards. If that is the case, all I really want to suggest here, let's go to committee stage, make sure we fine-tune the bill and pass it into law. That would be the most important thing, because there are issues that we have to take. One, the only thing I really want to emphasize here, if we want to talk about boards, let's not forget the food soldiers. That is the pharmaceutical society, which is almost dealing with the common people on the street. Let's don't leave them without involving them into the management of this agency. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Bash.
Well, I want to put.
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I don't know why. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I don't know the rush, because there was a privilege. There was a privilege a few days ago, and a lot of concerns were raised. The pharmaceutical society with the ministry, they were with us. There were concerns. These concerns were given to the ministry, and there was a reply. Collectively, in the press, the leader of this house, we all said they should go and compare notes and come again. But today we are here for this bill to be passed. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, having gone through this bill, there are a lot of lacunas, and this bill is going to replace the NPPU Bill Act. Yeah? Mr. Speaker, honorable members, for instance, and the minister gave himself a lot of powers, even in the selection of the board. The minister the minister took the powers of selecting people to be on the board, which is the responsibility of the president. The minister should have said, we all know the minister always recommend to the president, but the president have the veto to appoint people in the board. And parliament always approve board members. But in this bill, the minister appoints, and there is no approval from parliament. The only approval from parliament is the chairman of the board. Mr. Speaker, in other departments, again, it was a concern by the pharmaceutical society. In the entire running of the agency, there is no HR department, the human resource department. It was also another concern. There were a lot of concerns by the pharmaceutical society, and this bill, we are not, as was said by the leader of this house, this parliament is not a fun fair where we come, we make bills, we pass, we do acts. When they go, with the intention that they will be coming again for other amendments. When we are passing bills into law in this parliament, we are expecting that whatever bill that is being passed should stand the test of time. So, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, as was said by the chairman of by the deputy chairman of the health committee, I also follow his footsteps to say we submit the bill to the legislative committee to do thorough corrections and then brought to this parliament for approval. Thank you very much.
Yes. Hassan.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members, the bill before us is a very important bill. The medical supplies, in my opinion here, will be responsible for the procurement of drugs, warehousing, as well as distribution. Well, let me take my mind first to my colleague on the other side, who raised the issue of the minister appointed members of the board. It's a speaker, honorable members, I think it's the standard practice here. Ministers do recommend members of the board. It's a standard practice. This is not done by the Minister of Health before us alone.
Sit down.
Thank you very much.
This appears to be a sore point. Honorable Ansu, why do you think there is this departure from the tradition.
Well, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, different strokes for different folks. In this instance, it is the wish of the minister that it be done that way. So it is left to Parliament to agree or to disagree.
Honorable answer, that is very good. Yeah, continue.
Thank you very much. So I hope we continue with the tradition here. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, my concern here has to do with the procurement of drugs and the distribution. The procurement of drugs, for what I know in the past, drugs that come into this country have very few lifetime to expire. So when you are doing procurement of drugs that we are going to be distributing to our health centers, hospitals, I believe we should do so with the intention to give a lifetime or expiration period for more than 1 year here. So these drugs can be used by human beings. These drugs can be used to cure the most needed. But when you have drugs that expire within a period of 6 months, it does very little good to the nation. And it's a waste of resources as well. So I want to suggest to the medical supplies unit or board to look into that. Warehousing. Yes, it's important to have a warehousing facility to store the drugs. But where these warehousing or these facilities are provided, they must be able to expand use of these drugs. Because when the area where these drugs are kept, these areas are very hot, not very anything anybody can use or stay in the office for a moment, because of the unbearable conditions of these warehouses that we have in this country. So I believe the warehouses that we have must be improved, Mr. Minister, and must be able, throughout the country, not only the medical supplies here, throughout the health facilities in this country. So they cannot be used for a short period of time, and with the heat or the conditions there in the warehouse will make these drugs unusable. Distribution is the key. I'm a member of the Public Accounts Committee. When we go through these reports of the Attorney General, I mean the Auditor General, we run into short supply of drugs leaving the main warehouse here in Freetown to their ultimate destinations. In most cases, empty papers are delivered to these warehouses, to these clinics, up the provinces. The drugs are short supplied. The drugs are not made available to these health centers. We've gone through that in the Public Accounts Committee. We've done inspections of these health centers. The committee itself, from McKinney, Bourke, Kenema, these major headquarter towns, the difficulties or the disappointment, the committee on McKinney in particular, sir. But Loko is a safe haven for drugs, yes, because we'll make sure that we receive them as package from the Western region here.
Northwestern region.
And we, the Northwestern region, yes. Not before that time. We'll make sure that they get to their destinations. But truly speaking, most of the time, these drugs are short supplied. And that's why there are shortages of drugs in most of the health centers in this country. So I believe the chain of supply here, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the chain of supply must be improved. We must design a system that when a drug leaves the main warehouse in Freetown, we must be able to trace them to their ultimate destinations. Without that, in my opinion, the government will be wasting resources. The people will continue to ask questions, where is this free medical government is saying to us? The answer to that here is we must make sure that these drugs are delivered. We must make sure that these drugs are dispensed to those who need them. Anything less than that, in my opinion, is a waste of resources, waste of energy, and a waste of the minister's effort here to get things done. And that, I believe, is unacceptable. It should be seen here that we members of parliament, with the oversight committee privilege we have, or one of our roles here, we must be able to make sure that these things are done properly here. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the issue of the board here, I'm not going to comment on the board. Like I said, we'll go to the old tradition here. And we'll follow that tradition, we'll make sure that we do the right thing. Offenses, penalties, I believe they've been addressed properly on this bill. I don't think it's a controversial bill. I think we must, all of us, be able to approve this bill ASAP, as quickly as possible. Thank you very much.
Honorable Patricia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the bill before us today, I could say it's very, very timely. And it's a very, very important bill for the health of our people in this country. Medical supplies is a very sensitive issue. And supplies is one thing, just like the deputy leader just mentioned. Storage and warehousing is another thing. And I looked at page 12, where the agency shall have the following departments. The departments mentioned are there, but there are a few that are missing that are very, very important for the use of supplies for the country. Storage and warehousing is very, very important. It's not there. Distribution is also another very, very important department that is not there. Monitoring and evaluation is also very, very important, not just where from the warehouse, but all the way to the last patient who needs this medication. There should be people on the ground to monitor the distribution and to make sure that patients get the supplies they needed. These important departments are missing in this bill, and we have to look and make sure they are included, because the storage and warehousing, in fact, is so critical, it's so important. If it doesn't have a conducive environment for those drugs, they will go bad in a very short time. Before even the expiration date comes, they would already go bad if they are not stored properly. Some medicines need air conditioning. Some medicines need to be spaced out and not to bungle together. There are so many issues. And I think that is a department that needs a qualified person to oversee such a department. In terms of board members, just like all the previous MPs that spoke, board members on page 4, where I'm not going to tell a minister is going to appoint, where a board member is required to have 10 years. I think that is a little bit too much. You are depriving qualified younger people who can really get the job done properly. I would think that more than 5 years would be a recommended experience to handle medical supplies. More than 5 years. But more than 10 years, we will be depriving ourselves from qualified young people who can get the job done. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Dr. Blessy said.
The bill before us is so important. Important because you cannot talk of an effective health delivery without proper medical supply chain management. It is unfortunate that over the years, drugs procured for our people end up in the places where they are not intended to. Therefore, it is very important that a unit be established that will take into consideration all the loopholes that has occurred over the years, whereby millions of yuans were lost. Recently, we had reports about drugs impounded at Cambia checkpoint. And up to today, we've been following up that we couldn't get a report to who the culprits are. We also had a report about drugs impounded somewhere in Kailahun. And up to today, we don't have reports on who the culprits are. If we are talking about establishing a unit, I think the major issues we need to look into is setting up a structure wherein these lapses will not occur any longer. It is so important that if this is not properly managed, no matter how many millions of dollars government spends on health care, people will continue to blame us that not much is done. Because if a patient goes to hospital, they expect to receive quality drugs. They expect to receive medicines in whatever remote clinic we have. But if, because of pilfering, drugs are not available, automatically, we are not appreciated. In that regard, I want to support the motion that a monitoring and evaluation unit be set up in this unit. Because when drugs are imported, you have the quantities of the drugs that are coming in. When you dispatch these drugs from the central medical stores to the district medical stores, you have the quantities of drugs that are being supplied. And when these drugs are distributed to the PHUs and to the hospitals, there should be a drug consumption sheet wherein drugs are monitored, how they are consumed and how they are dispensed. And if there are no people, there is no unit to monitor short movement of drugs and to give proper accountability on how these products are utilized, then we still have a problem. Coming into the bill itself, I strongly believe that we have the Medical and Dental Association as members of the board. And I believe that the Pharmaceutical Society of Sierra Leone should be part of this board because they have the required efficient people to represent them in this board. As a ministry and as a new agency, I strongly believe that what we are looking forward to is to have an effective and efficient institution that will provide the best for Sierra Leone. In that regard, I want to strongly recommend that the Pharmaceutical Society of Sierra Leone be represented in this board. If you have the medical and the dental association represented in the board, I believe the pharmaceutical association should also be represented. In page 5, you talk about the chairman who should be appointed by the minister to have a degree from a reputable institution. We are talking about an institution that requires somebody of a higher caliber. And if you have shut a specialized unit, I strongly believe that somebody with a postgraduate degree in pharmacology will be the best person to handle shut a unit, because we want efficiency and efficacy in this department. Mr. Speaker, looking at all the concerns raised, starting on SO 51-1, I want that this bill be committed to the legislative committee.
No, you cannot say that.
Okay, sir.
You should not.
I withdraw, sir.
Honorable answer.
I thank you, Mr. Speaker, if you so wish. I thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, we have before us a replacement bill. A replacement bill that will replace Act number 8 of 2012. And that bill, as it is, the bill that is before us, is the National Medical Supplies Agency Act. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, let us look back and really look at things the way they are, properly, and with utmost simplicity. Is this new act, this agency, really going to do better than what the act that it is replacing will do? I pose this question because, as far as I'm concerned, and the people of this country are concerned, government, since 2012, when that act that is about to be replaced was passed into law, the government medical stores and all of its supporting agencies have been functioning. But what has been absent, as far as the people are concerned,
okay,
is the fact that the drugs that are supposed to arrive at their destinations once they leave Freetown, probably some of them used to run into problems, wherein they most likely were not available at their destinations. That was part of the problem.
Yes.
But will this bill correct that? When you talk of wastages, you are talking about implementation.
Yes.
When you talk of wastages in a lot of these circumstances in this country, wastages do not mean that the supplies are available, but that they are not even there. They are not sufficient. We signed the Abuja Declaration. By that declaration, we are supposed to spend 15% of our available resources on healthcare. We are not doing that. So therefore, we are still not up to it. Will this bill make sure that those who are working so very hard in these institutions are not unnecessarily blamed for these shortcomings? No. So let us be careful, because what we are doing now is exposing. Because when you replace an act of parliament and you say that the new act will be more effective than the old act, and yet still after 1, 2, 3 years you notice that in fact the purposes are not achieved, who do you blame? Do you come with another act? This 2012 act is about what, 5 or 6 years old? We are replacing it. We will replace it. This house will replace it. I see the mood. I see that in our faces. Not in our actions. I see that. I can read faces in this house. I've been doing that for a very long time. This bill, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, will become law. That effective bill that people have, that my colleagues, some of my colleagues have been referring to, with not so happy comments. Yes, we are going to lay it to rest. We'll have a new one. But will that new one be more effective than the old one? We have to look at that. His Excellency the President are made to understand that this bill is the initiative of His Excellency the President, because the action that we are taking.
Really? Or how do you know that?
He had commented, the minister had commented, that this is about, this came about as one of government's priorities, and not only that, that in fact it came about as a result of the suspension that took place at State House. And who resides at State House is His Excellency the President. I'm not saying that it was a bad move, but I'm saying that we must be careful as a nation, that our children's the only ones that have to be careful. I saw you tumbled over the other day while walking. So therefore, I'm saying this, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, that every day I do it, and I'm not a child. And so therefore, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, what I'm saying is that the bill is a good bill. The bill is a good bill. It will work effectively, provided this bill has enough support from the sources that the supports are supposed to be coming from. The other day, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, a cousin of mine got ill, and I sent her to the Pujon Government Hospital. We have a very good doctor, we have a very good system there, but all of the prescriptions that were written were brought to me, and I was referred to a private clinic for purchasing. I said, well, why can't I buy them from the hospital, the government hospital? They were not available there. Will this bill correct such anomalies? It is not about what we do. It is about what happens as the end result. We are all looking forward that the blame game should stop, and that effective administrative measures must be implemented and effectively to the letter. We are required to spend 15% of our budget on healthcare. and that is not being done. And we are passing these laws. I will support the bill only because it is a good bill, but that I'll caution this House that when this bill becomes law, the blame game should stop. I thank you, Mr. Speaker, and honorable members.
Salina.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, all members of parliament are desirous in having a good bill passed into an act of parliament so that the health system of our people will be improved. That is the goal and intention of the bill before us. I want to assure the acting minority leader to have faith in our system, to have faith in the government of Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma, that what we are doing here today is for the benefit of this country and nothing more. We want a very comprehensive bill, Mr. Speaker. We want a very comprehensive bill to be passed, and every member of parliament has spoken, all those who have spoken to the bill have said that they are supporting the bill so that you will be able to give us a very effective medical system.
Mr. Leader, resume your seat for the time being.
Mr. Speaker, I rise on SO 32-9. Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, I did not say that I do not have confidence or that I do not have faith in this government.
Yeah.
And the leader, he said that he wants to have
the speaker is here to rule.
Exactly.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm right. I'm not here. I did not say that I do not have faith in what this government is doing. I did not say that. So that is not my motive. Yeah. And so therefore, the leader, please correct yourself.
Yeah. But at the same time, Honorable Ansu, according to SO 32-9, no member shall impute improper motive. By what he has said, he has not imputed any improper motive. Ansu, see them. What he has said, he has not done that. He said he wants to assure you that this the president has everything good for this country, to have faith.
Why would you assure somebody?
No, never mind.
Why do you have to assure me?
Never mind.
You don't have to assure me.
Well, never mind. So assuring somebody is no insult.
No, it's not. I did not say that he has insulted me.
When I
am saying that that was not my motive.
Yes.
And that I did not say so. Mm-hmm. And that it should not be part of the records of this House at all.
Yeah, okay, it will not. Go on, Mr. Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I wonder why the acting minority leader is so vociferous about this issue. The English language, you don't need to say so much, but people understand. He said where the bill comes from should support the implementation of this bill. And I'm assuring you, Honorable from Pujang, that will be done.
What is it?
This bill will be supported effectively, and that is the intention of this bill. I'm merely giving you that assurance. Mr. Speaker, what the honorable members want is a comprehensive bill, and without wasting the time of this House, Mr. Speaker, I want to move that for us to have an effective bill before us.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Leader. Okay, okay. You end there.
Mr. Speaker, I want to inform you that yesterday we had a pre-legislative meeting on this bill 2 days ago, and it was agreed among the members of parliament and the minister and the ministry that this bill should go for further scrutiny to the legislative committee, because we have a few concerns, to make it comprehensive and effective so that it can be implemented without any doubt whatsoever. It will be satisfactory for us to send the bill to the legislative committee.
As Alassan said, to stand the test of time.
Times, okay, sir. So that we will not have it come back here again for some other amendment in less than two, three months or whatever the case may be. So when we come to that stage, Mr. Speaker, I will move a motion that the bill be sent to the legislative committee so that we will give it some fine tuning. We have all seen the necessity. Of course, we are going to repeal the MPPU Act. But for us to have a comprehensive bill that we're quoting from the deputy chairman of health committee, quoting from him, to have it effective, we need to do that, Mr. Speaker. The MPPU Act failed us very hopelessly, and we have no apologies for that, because if it is not working, it has to be repealed. And we are going to replace it, hopefully, with a far more effective bill when it becomes an act of parliament, so that the necessity of working together and the implementation of the bill will be for the health benefit of all our people, Mr. Speaker. So I'm waiting, when we get to that stage, for me to move the motion. And thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I thank the honorable members for all the concerns raised. We had agreed on most of those concerns. So I hope that the legislative committee, once the bill is committed to them, will be able to take those concerns on board and to do a very effective and comprehensive bill when we come back to the committee stage. I thank you very much, honorable members.
Mr. Minister. Mr. Minister, please take note in your response. Certain concerns have been raised. You are expected really to reply to some of these. You did hear what members of parliament said in their contributions.
Yes, sir.
So go on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members of parliament. The concern of the first speaker was on the board members must be approved by this house. We felt that the chairman of the board is the most, you know, important person in the board, important in quote, and the most critical position in the board. So we felt that if the Honorable House vets the chairman who is going to steer that board, and we thought that was enough. But if it is the opinion of the House that every single nominee, if this is the wish of the Honorable House. Okay.
Mr. Minister, at this point, let me ask you. Minister.
Yes, sir.
At this point, I would like to ask you, on behalf of members of parliament,
yes, sir,
and being a member of parliament myself, this. Yes, Chief. This bill was drafted by the ministry in conjunction with the Law Officers Department.
Yes,
sir. Why did you intend to give yourself additional powers?
I'll come to that, sir. I will come to that, sir.
But why the departure from the tradition? I wonder. The legal draftman, is he here?
Maybe it's the draftman, it's not the minister.
Yes, no, I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you, and I should not, to be fair to you. The legal draftman, is he here? Yes.
I just want to make a small clarification, Mr. Minister. For the benefit of us all here, it should not be forgotten that the President of the Republic is Minister in charge of Establishment and Public Affairs. And therefore, matters of this nature go through him. He must nominate somebody who comes to Parliament for clearance. The possibility that he may consult the minister also exists. But I agree with the speaker that we should not be seen to be deviating from normal practice. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and Honorable Members of Parliament. I think the Act is very clear that the chairman of the board will be appointed by the president on the recommendation of the minister, subject to approval by this house. I think it is, yes, sir. Thank you very much, honourable members. So it is clear that it is His Excellency that will appoint on the recommendation of the minister. And the other concern of the first speaker was that the condition that if a board member absents himself or herself from two consecutive meetings of the board.
Order.
The concern was that the two consecutive meetings was too harsh. But remember that this is a board. They don't meet every day. They meet maybe once every 3 months. So two consecutive meetings means you have absent yourself for 6 months, which is half of the year. So we think, three. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Minister, you've been told to go ahead, and please be reminded that Parliament has the last say.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
This is the Supreme Legislative Body of the country.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, the second speaker was on the qualification of the board on the use of the word medical MD. The NEMSA is not going to be a subvented agency, actually. This is a business model. They do business, in the sense that they procure drugs on behalf of ministries, departments, agencies, private sector, and they charge a fee for that, and they are supposed to use. So it's a government institution, but it's a business model institution. So that's why the use of the word. And Honorable JB.
Mr. Minister?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, a member is asking a very pertinent question.
Yes.
A member is asking a very pertinent question. Honorable Bash. That is it a private body?
No, it's not a private body, sir. It's a public.
All right, okay.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Al-Hassan. Mr. Minister.
Yes, sir.
Al-Hassan.
Sorry,
yes.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker.
Sit down, Mr. Minister.
I just want to make a clarification. The minister just said this is not a government, a subvented agency. But from the financial provisions, it states the activities of the agency shall be financed by funds consisting of monies appropriated from time to time by Parliament for the purpose of the agency. So meaning it's a subvented agency.
Mr. Minister, go on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The third speaker, I just want to start to respond to your concerns by making this statement that the greatest disservice any public servant can do to his country is to make a law around yourself. That is the greatest disservice that any public servant will do to his country. And the worst public figure to create a law around himself is a government minister. Unlike all of this honorable you sitting here, it is I am the one who has the greatest possibility of not getting to my office by the time I get there from here. So what is the point in making a law around myself when it is possible that by the time I go through this door, an announcement has gone out that I'm no longer there? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he's very much aware of that.
So, Mr. Speaker, sir, so I don't make laws for myself and I don't abrogate undue powers to myself, sir. On the board members, there are two categories of board members. We have the institutional members of the board. These are on the board by virtue of the institutions they represent. For example, the Act says the Permanent Secretary, Ministry of this, the Permanent Secretary. I have no control over that. All I do is, at the end of the day, to write the ministry to send the appropriate nominee to the board. There are the second category of board nominees. These are non-institutional members. This, if you like, these are members of the public. Mr. This has been in this sector for this long. We think he has what it takes to contribute to the board. He's a member of the public. Somebody has to nominate him. And who is best placed to nominate that person after due consideration other than the minister? So this is where the nomination by the minister comes. But however, if it is the wish.
Sit down, Mr. Minister. Well, Swallow, people are talking about recommend something, nomination. Nomination and recommendation, really. I mean, almost one and the same, because when you nominate, effectively, you are recommending. And when you recommend, you don't have the last say.
Yeah, exactly.
And recommendations, by definition, could be rejected or accepted. So when you nominate, the word nominate really come from the word Latin, nomen nomenis. That is, I am naming you to be. You see? That is it. I am naming you to be. So it's recommendation. Yes, one and the same. Yes, Mr. Minister.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, sir. But having recommended or nominated members, if it is the wish of the House that this nominated or recommended members come to this House, so be it.
But you have been represented by Bash, really. Yes, go on.
Yes. For Honorable Sheriff, I think it's just more of a thank you for the very positive contribution to the bill, sir. Thank you very much. And also, Honorable Patricia, also thank you for the contribution. But you have two concerns. The absence of an M&E department, yes, but the Act make provision for the establishment to create other department as it's deemed fit. So I believe that is one of the departments that they will yes do. And also you have you thought the 10 years experience is too much. I think they're just trying to balance academic qualification and experience, you know, in the job, you know, because when you advertise for a job, you'll say applicant must have a first degree or second degree and 5 years or equivalent, but you don't say 5 years or equivalent, because experience has no equivalent. You really have to have it, to earn it. I think that is where they are coming from. Yes, the chair of the Parliamentary Health Committee has said, you talking about the Pharmaceutical Society of Sierra Leone. I just want to make the point that the pharmaceutical, if you are talking about the pharmaceutical sector of Sierra Leone, is just one of several other pressure groups in the pharmaceutical industry. You have the pharmacy board, you have the pharmaceutical society of Sierra Leone, and you have the pharmaceutical business association of Sierra Leone. These are all pressure groups in the area of drugs and medical supplies. And then also, the pharmaceutical society is an association that members join on a voluntary basis. So it cannot be the sole repository of knowledge in the area of pharmaceutical industry. That, I mean, the act is very, it makes provisions for pharmacists to be in the board. So it's already there, but they don't necessarily have to come from the pharmaceutical society of Sierra Leone. That is just what I want to clarify. Yes. Yes, so Mr. Speaker, I move again that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency 2017 be read the second time.
Honourable members, the question is that the bill entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017 be read the second time. All those in favour say aye. Mr. Leader, wait. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
No.
The ayes have it.
Entitled the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2017. Being an act to repeal and replace the National Medical Supplies Agency Act 2012 to establish the National Medical Supplies Agency as a public service agency responsible for the procurement, warehousing and distribution of drugs and medical supplies in a transparent and cost-effective manner for and on behalf of all public institutions throughout Sierra Leone has been read a second time.
Yes, Mr. Leader.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members.
I don't want Amfu Gaka to fall on you. Go on.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members. I believe we have all seen the necessity why this bill should be sent to the Legislative Committee. I think the honorable minister himself has seen the reason, and I believe he will duly support the motion that the bill be sent to the Legislative Committee, so that I move that SO 51-1, that we send the bill to the Legislative Committee for them to do some fine tuning.
No, it's okay. Any seconder?
I second the motion.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, it has been moved and seconded that the bill be committed to the Legislative Committee. All in favour say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
The bill has been committed to the Legislative Committee.
Honourable members, please be reminded, particularly the Legislative Committee, Daniel Kuruma, I'm happy that you are here in the absence of your chairman. From what can be discerned from the contributions, this bill has so many deficiencies. Or, to quote Honorable Bash, and he said it correctly, the bill has many lacunas. Indeed. So make sure you look at the bill very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. On the question of the qualification of the chairman of the health committee even suggested that he should have a postgraduate degree in pharmacology. I don't know, but I would have thought that a degree, well, it is only now. But believe me, in the 60s when we went to school, just a single degree suffices for everything. For everything. Okay, those were the glorious days of education. The golden period of education in this country. Even 606, yes. So, but another point, honorable members, I want you to look at it very, very carefully also, very closely. The minister said something which I want to support very strongly. You see, experience is very important. Experience, very important. This is something that you acquire, you earn. The only time that somebody surpasses you in experience is when you die. So 10 years experience, I don't think if that is too much. It is not too much at all. It is okay, 10 years experience. That is where I want to support the minister, really. The experience is not something that you buy. You have to earn it. And when people talk about expertise, you know, people use words very loosely in this country. Because when you talk about expertise, believe you me, that can only be acquired with experience. Granted that you've already got the basic academic qualification. But expertise can never be acquired in one day. It's over time. That is where experience comes in. So please, Mr. Acting Chairman, take note. Yes, Mr. Leader.
Speaker, honorable members, I want to crave your indulgence for the standing order for the other people to accommodate me to lay a very urgent agreement on the table of Parliament. I have received communication from the Honorable Minister of Finance, who is out of the country.
Never mind. The minister can only go when he's dispatched by the speaker. Sit down, Mr. Minister. Go on.
I did not know that. So I want to lay the... I didn't know he was here, but the earlier communication I received was he was out of the country, and I wanted to lay it on behalf of government. Since I'm not only majority leader, but leader of government business also, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable members, the leader has asked for an amendment which I would like to accommodate because this financial agreement is very, very important. I think he could have done that amendment earlier, but nonetheless, I accommodate it. So you proceed. Sorry, Mr. Leader. Sorry, Mr. Minister. Honorable Ansu. Are you in agreement?
I was going to say, Mr. Speaker, in helping the majority leader, that he retroactively stand under the relevant standing orders.
We presume everything is in place.
Honorable Vice, please be quiet.
Yes.
Mr. Minister. I now release you, can go.
Sir Speaker, Ansu has been mischievous.
Bash.
Mr. Speaker, with your permission, the acting minority leader is being mischievous in this house today. Mr. Speaker, the moment that you have ruled, the presumption is that everything is in place. Yeah. And you have ruled already. Yeah. So let him not take us aback.
I am not being mischievous, but I agree with Mr. Speaker. I'm not the Deputy Speaker.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I want you to know that I know Ansu better than anybody in this country. The point is, I went to school with Ansu, only that he was my junior.
And you taught him?
And I taught him. Even as a student, he and Binay. When I was senior prefect and head boy, if I went to any of the classes and there was no teacher, I would go in and teach, except for one subject, mathematics. Ah. everything was doing well, but it was very troublesome. It was very troublesome.
Mr. Speaker, with reference to what you have just said, which is actually correct, I'm reminding you and I'm asking you to start to be thinking of those days. And as far as from where we have come from, you and I,
yes,
in this house.
Okay.
That's us.
Okay. Honorable member, SA to this and a bell talk. Yes, Mr. Leader, go on.
Financing agreement, productivity and transparency support credit between the Republic of Sierra Leone and the International Development Association, dated 7th July 2017. Credit number 6112SL, grant number D218SL.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Clark.
Please, honorable members, this announcement is for all of us. NEC has distributed a lot of statutory instruments which would need your attention to scrutinize, to look at properly. On that note, therefore, it has been proposed that the statutory instrument be discussed on the boundary delimitation to be discussed on Monday, the 17th July 2017 at 11 a.m. These instruments have to do with your meets and bounds, how the wards and constituencies have been divided. And so therefore, it is very important for us to look at them and to discuss them, so that by the time we lay them, we would have seen all the mistakes, if there are any. So that's why we call for a pre-ledge meeting between NEC and Parliament. Thank you.
At what time, Mr. Clark?
11 a.m. on Monday.
Honorable members, the House is adjourned to Tuesday, the 18th of, is it the 18th? Okay. The 18th of July at 10 a.m. But honorable member, please take note. These statutory instruments are very, very important. Very, very important. When you go for the discussion, if there are certain incongruities, certain things that don't agree with certain boundaries, that is where you have to come up with them, please. Very important. Very important. Honorable members, I've adjourned, so nothing can be tolerated now. Bopara, this house was enjoying peace and quiet when we are not here.